Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you hear this message from Pastor Gary Hay.
I have something to share with you today that really was nothing that I had on my radar at all. And we got on the plane the other morning, and we took off. We're flying along there. Judy's reading something, and I just kind of bowed my head and just kind of started meditating on some things and praying a little bit. And the presence of God just really, I didn't know they could come. He could come on a plane, but he did. And in fact, I'm thinking about going back to Destin again just to see if I could find him. But anyway, the Lord really spoke something to me. And I'm a teacher by motivation, but I realize that more's caught than taught. And what I want to do right now is pray. I want us to pray because I feel like this is a word for some people today. And this is not preacher hype. This is just a fact. I do. And so would you just put your hand on your chest? We're doing kid stuff today. But I want us to pray that God would speak to us today and that we could receive it. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your life in us. I thank you for your destiny that you've placed before each of us. And I pray this morning, Lord, that whatever happens from this point, that you will speak what you want into the hearts of each person here. Deposit today, oh God, into our heart, your heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And my second reason for doing that is because if I don't do well today, my pastor won't let me preach anymore. So what happened on that plane the other day was the Lord spoke to me, just surprised me. I've never conceived of any of this before, but he spoke to me and said, I want you to know that horizons are not borders. They're invitations. Horizons, in practical terms, are as far as we can see from where we are. By definition, a horizon is a line where the heavens and the earth come together. I like that one. That spoke to my heart. Horizons are as far as you can see from where you are. I wonder if I'm speaking to the right group today. I wonder if you're here today and you don't know what's beyond the horizon you see. I felt strongly this morning that I'd be speaking to somebody here today whose horizons have pretty well closed in on them. That you really can't, in fact, your horizon, your goal right now is just make it through the day. I felt there was somebody in the family center today, specifically a couple in their 30s. And you're looking at what you can do. You're looking at what can possibly change. And I want to tell you something. Your horizons, what you see from where you are, is not a border. It's not a limit. It's an invitation. And if you'll proceed toward that border, go as far as you know to go, you'll find that something else is opening up to you. You'll find that you don't have to know where you're going in God. God is already there and he's beckoning you. That is exciting to me. I've found in life that what I can see and what God sees are two different things. But I've also found that he wants to share. I found that he wants to invite you into what he's already into. Jesus performed that way. That's the way he did what he did. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing, and I only say what I hear my Father saying. And that was the key to his success. And I would like to postulate to you that it will be the key to your success as well. But here we are today. We're looking at our life. We're looking at our world, and we see certain things from where we are. We don't know beyond that, but I'm telling you today, that was a promise of the Lord to me, and that wasn't just for me. I was very aware that it was bigger than me, and I want to share it with you today because I really sense that there are some of us that need to understand that God really does have a plan where heaven and earth intersects. You're going to find, in fact, it's not only over there. Heaven and earth is intersecting right here. It's where you are is somebody else's horizon. You get what I'm saying? So be aware of that as we talk about this today. We might be in that deep valley this morning. I want to share there's four different places that horizons come into play. Number one, let's say we're in a deep valley. I don't know if you've ever been in a place before that was so congested. Maybe you were out in the wilderness somewhere and you were in a very canyon and you could only see up above you just a little bit and it looked insurmountable to get there. Maybe it was in a cityscape and the buildings closed in around you and you couldn't see really anything beyond your immediate moment. And I think too many people live like that. I want you to know that it's a bigger world than that. I want you to know that's bigger than your personal situation. I want you to know that's bigger than the rough situation you're in right now. I want you to know that that is not a border that you can't come out of. There are people sitting in this room this morning that somebody said something over you as a child. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Maybe it was a teacher. And they said, you'll never be this. You'll never be that. Maybe a family member said, you might as well give up on having anything in life. This is just the way life is. Somebody might have told you, you're not that smart. You're going to have to limit yourself to this kind of work. Somebody might have told you any number of things, and that has become your horizon. You're living within that. Man, I want to dynamite you out of that today. There's a spirit of adventure that needs to come to the people of God because God is big on adventure. I'm thinking about Abram right now. Abram, can you imagine one day down in the era of the Chaldees, they were worshiping wooden idols and stuff, and God spoke to the man. He didn't even know there was a God. Can you imagine when he came home to tell Sarah, hey, Sarah, God spoke to me today. She said, what's that? What's a God? And he said, well, he spoke to me that I'm to leave here. I'm going to rise and go from here to a land that he'll show me. I've been married for 37 years. I don't think that would have gone over very well with St. Judith Ann Hay. How many of you guys understand what I'm saying? Where are we going again? And what are we going to do when we get there? I don't know. The Lord's going to show us. And so we're moving away from all we've ever known, and we're going to somewhere we don't even know yet. But how many of you know that in that horizon-moving moment, God issued a promise a few years later that said, in you, all the peoples of the earth shall be blessed. Behind that nebulous word that right now makes no sense, behind that hope-so feeling, behind that moment when the Spirit of God comes and enlightens our heart and makes us believe that it could be, behind that, there is a tangible thing that God wants to do someday. You can't access it by hope-so. You must access it by faith. In fact, I found out something interesting about horizons. It doesn't change until I move. But as I move, it moves too. Which means we never fully arrive, not in this life anyway, but we keep finding there's more than we thought. I just want to ignite something inside of you today that says, I refuse to live within the boundaries that have been imposed upon me. We live in a time right now where people are so interested in safety and security, and we just can't take any risks. And it just makes me want to run through the house with sharp scissors. You know, when I was a kid, we'd get on our bike and we'd just ride the sucker. If we fell down, then we got a bandage or something. But today, you've got to be dressed up like a hockey player to even go and ride your stinking bike. I get it. I don't want my kids to get hurt either, but I'm just telling you, for crying out loud, we got to take a risk sometime. Somebody said faith is spelled R-I-S-K. I felt that's true. But I'm telling you, and I'm not just talking about doing stupid stuff and expecting God to bail you out. I'm just talking about the fact that God's speaking. He's been talking a long time. In fact, he started this whole thing with just a word. And he plans to close it out with a word. And in the meantime, he's still looking for people as crazy as Abram, as crazy as your neighbor right there next to you, that would just take him at his word and say, well, that's what God said. Because when you say, well, God spoke to me, and more people say, well, you know, we really probably ought to get you into a health professional. You know, we've lost something here because we think everything has to be rational. I'm going to tell you something. Some guy dying on a cross 2,000 years ago that can free me from all the bondages that sin has placed on my life and my race, that's not rational. But it's effective. I wonder how many of us need to learn to turn off some thinking and turn on our listening. Let me talk to you about four valleys before I preachify myself right out of time here. A deep valley is one of the places where we might find ourselves, and that's a horizon that's very confining and surrounding. And like I said, for some, it's just getting by today. If I can just get through the day. And I'm telling you, God has more for you than just getting through the day. Don't draw boundaries around yourself God hasn't drawn. The second one is the mountaintop. And this is more of an expansive moment. In fact, I envisioned this one as somebody who was in a valley. But they moved toward the horizon and then they found themselves coming out of that valley. And now they're standing on top of the hills that surrounded them before. It's like a lot of testimonies that we go through. Some of the things that we've gone through and you've gone through in life are horrible. They're difficult. They're painful. But when you got out of it, you could look down at the people in the valley and say, come up here. See, God brings us out of these places so we can stand on the problems that confined us before and speak to others who are coming in behind us. What you go, God wastes no pain. He wastes no pain. You can waste it, but he doesn't. That pain is supposed to be a story at the end of the day, how God has brought us out. And we can have compassion on people because we understand we've been there. But God wants to bring you up. And when you get on top of a mountain, you see possibilities. You didn't see much down here. All you saw was what was confining you. But when you stand on that mountain, you have an expansiveness that takes over. You begin to see, wow, I got out of there. You led me out of there, Lord, and what now can you do? What's the possibility out there? Now, we need to have a spirit of potentiality that settles in on us so that we understand that we are not just like people on a treadmill, just working through our days, just taking time. As a believer, I grew up in a mentality where all we did was talk about salvation because we didn't want to go to hell. That's a really good idea. If you're going, you might want to change that. We can talk about that today. Jesus came to set us free from the law of sin and death that we would be punished with eternally. He came to set us free. But believe you me, he didn't leave as soon as we were saved. He's got a plan for life, and he wants us to come to a place where our horizons that we thought we had are broken. We crashed through those things. We followed him onto another place. And you might be standing on a mountain, even this moment. Maybe you've come out of a valley emotionally. I'm telling you that there is something out there, and we need to have a spirit of adventure to follow God beyond what we can see. It's amazing what happens. Thirdly, from a plane. When you get in a plane, you're temporarily there. And that plane is flying at a level that you can never achieve. And it's almost like a prophetic moment. It's temporary, it's fleeting, and you come down from that. But while you were there, you saw things you could never have seen any other way. It happens when we read the scripture sometimes. It happens around an altar when somebody gives us a word. It happens when God speaks to us on an airplane like he did me. I'm just telling you, there is a moment in time where you are elevated out of your situation and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords lets you in on some things that you couldn't see from where you were. But when you land, you go right back into that more confining world. But in the back of your mind, seated deep in your heart, there's something that doesn't make sense from this vantage point that you saw when you were up there. 25 and a half years ago, the Lord spoke to me about coming here. He said to build a church for people who had been beat up, burned out, hurt in life, and hurt in church. And he said, I have a pent-up desire to pour out my spirit on this place because my name is here. There were a lot of days, folks. There are a lot of days when I couldn't really hardly get my mind around that, where I couldn't even see how it could ever happen. Such a religious town, and it's hard to talk to religious people about things that are beyond their religion. It really is. I understand that. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit later, but I'm really ticked off now. Because what God's doing, he had to wait till I quit. What in the world is that about? Now, let me tell you what I know. We had to let Josh take over because he's getting so old. No, he's got the heart that's going to lead into the next space. It already is happening. I've never heard of a transition like this, ever, ever. And I'm so thrilled. I am absolutely full of joy to see what is going on. And so please understand that this is a God thing, how God switches. And he's got other things going on in the process. I'll talk to you about some of those maybe next week. But the bottom line of this thing is we need to adopt this sense of we're going someplace. We're not sitting here molding on or having moss grow on the north side of us like a tree. This thing is a moving atmospheric that God is drawing people into. And I believe with all of my heart, I really do, that there's some of you about ready to step into places that you've only dreamt of. You're about to see things manifest in the natural that you've only given lip service to in the kingdom. God wants to do these things, and he needs some folks that can see over the horizon. Chase him. Chase him. Chase the horizon. I hear people that fly a lot talk about chasing the sun. Because when you fly a lot, you'll throw all these cycles and you're chasing the sun. And I think we need to chase the sun, S-O-N. He's doing things. He's not, the kingdom of God is dynamic. It is not static. We'll always be being challenged to change. We'll always be challenged to come further. We'll always be challenged to walk in a place where we haven't set our feet before. And we shouldn't be afraid of that. We should be honored that the Lord allows us to follow him where he is. Finally, you'll find a vantage point from space. I call this the God's eye view. This is the ultimate perspective. This one, believe it or not, lets us know how small we are in the very large enterprise called the kingdom of God. It's a good thing. Because when we get to a place where we see God doing something in our life, one of the danger places is that we become full of ourselves. And we think we're really pretty amazing. You know, and God needs to get us in outer space sometimes where we can look down and see that the earth is really a pretty small part of a universe that he hung millions of stars in place just to declare his glory, if nothing else. We've got a shuttle astronaut right here in the front. He's shaking his head at me because he's seen a bunch of those things with his own eyes. It's an amazing thing how big space is and how God says, these things just declare my glory. If he would hang those fixtures in space so far out that we haven't been able to find the last ones yet, just to show us how magnificent he is, then we need to go to space sometimes. We need to see how honored we are to be a part of this thing called the kingdom of God. Sometimes we think, well, we're pretty amazing. You know, I'm in the body of Christ, I am a leg, and it's all about the legs. It's just all about the legs. If everybody was a leg, we'd be a leg, you know what I'm saying? But there's arms and there's feet, there's internal organs that nobody can see, and that makes up a body. Folks, what he's doing, you want the healthiest leg you can get. You want the healthiest arms you can get. You want the healthiest everything you can get. And we need to appreciate the fact of the differences and the aspects of the kingdom of God as manifested through his body, however he does it, wherever he does it. It's been an amazing thing over history to see how God develops his kingdom, how he develops his church. And we need to see that big picture. This progression, if you will, from the deep valley to the mountaintop to the plain to the space scenario is something that reminds me a lot of Romans chapter 12. And I want to read this to you because this is the crux of what we've got to come about and come to. It says, do not be conformed or squeezed into the mold of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of the mind. A lot of times Christians undergo a removal of the mind, it seems, but renewal is better. Highly recommended. Have a renewed mind so that by testing, we may discern what is the will of God. What is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect. Three words that describe the will of God, not three different levels of the word of God, as some people have taught. It's a place where we begin to say, God, I'm starting to think like you think. That'll always be a process, I'm sure, because the natural mind is at war with God. But as we come to the Word of God, we begin to be transformed into His viewpoint of things. And I'll tell you, when you get to that point, those horizons do beckon you. You say, I want to go beyond. I don't want to just live in the prepared world that's prepared for me. We have a thing sweeping across, especially the younger generations in our nation right now, where people are warming up to the idea of socialism, which the government takes care of you from cradle to grave. Never mind how well they take care of you, but, you know, has anybody been to the post office lately? Do you want the government running every aspect of your life? They can't even deliver the mail and make a living. I don't know what we want them to do with any of the rest of it. But anyway, that's a story that you don't want me to talk about. Let me read this statement to you. The Lord wants to set us on a path to the realization that our horizons are not meant to be understood as borders or limitations. They can actually be God's invitation to adventure. I think it's so important that we live that way. In fact, when you pray, pray with an ear open. Prayer is part of a process of speaking and listening. And I declare to you that I believe the listening part of it is more important than my speaking part. Because when I hear what God is saying, I can begin to pray into that. And that's where agreement comes. On earth, I'm agreeing with Him. And that begins to have a process of fulfillment of what we're praying about. When we pray the will of God, we're praying what He's already said. Pastor Josh talked about earlier. I have, however, noticed that my horizon doesn't change, as I mentioned before, until I advance toward it. But when I do, I discover new things that, unbeknownst to me, were waiting there all along, just over the horizon. One of my favorite scriptures in the entire word is this one, Proverbs 25:2. It says, it is the glory of God to conceal things. Anybody here have kids? Have you ever tried to hide Christmas presents from your adolescent kids? What about Easter? We hide the eggs or the candy out in the grass and they go searching for it. That is the picture I've got here. That God has some stuff for us, but He hides it. He hides it. But folks, that means He hid it. And that means that I have to expend some energy, some emotion, some time, some study, some searching, some praying, for asking for revelation, for things that will change my world. And few do it. We want spiritual food that has been harvested, cooked, and chewed for us. I'm talking about that first hour group. Now, I know that's not a problem here, but we need to understand that God has put some stuff out there. Say, kids, go for it. Go for it. When you read the Word of God, do it with that in mind. I wonder what's buried here. That's why you meditate on the Word of God. Most of us don't know that. We think that's all yoga. I'm not. It's different. It's literally getting something in your heart and mind and turning it over and over and over like a cow chews its cud and really going into it until you break it down and get it. And I wonder how many of us ever do that with what we read. We have a schedule to read the Bible, so we read those chapters. We got that done. Woo! And we got nothing out of it. Nothing. God says, listen, I have hidden some things. There are some places in God I want you to go. There are some things I want you to find. There are some things I want you to experience. But you can't just show up, boom, get it, and go. You wouldn't appreciate it if you did. I believe some of us need to spend time heading for those things and looking for those things because God has them there for us, and they're powerfully wonderful, and you will never regret the time you spent. When we chase our horizons, our advance will have an effect on others. This is exciting. It will excite passion and curiosity in others, and many will be encouraged enough to follow. This is a phenomenon. Now, we were down at Destin, and you'd go to places where you had to wait like 30 minutes or an hour to get into a restaurant. Why that doesn't turn people away is because they see that other people are excited about what's inside there. That's exactly the same thing that the Lord wants to do with us. Now, let me give you an example of how this works in the real world that we're used to. From as far back as 500 BC, people conceived of flying machines and even tried to fly in various fashions. One priest I read about, he made a suit of feathers for himself and some wings on them, and he got up on the top of the church and jumped. And they buried him near where he fell. There were all kind of machines. Even Da Vinci designed some. But yet for many, many hundreds of years, folks, 1,000 years or more, a couple of thousand years actually, nothing happened with this. Nobody really dived into it and conceived of things, and time went by until a couple of guys that owned a bicycle repair shop back in the Midwest suddenly decided, we're going for this. We believe in this. And they got a place out in Killdevil Hills, North Carolina, called Kitty Hawk. And Orville and Wilbur Wright worked on this thing and worked on this thing. They probably got inspired by gulls and pelicans that just fly on the fixed wing, and it's a beautiful thing to watch. And somehow or other, they came up with an idea. They put an engine in it, and they flew it for 57 seconds. It flew 892 feet. It wasn't just an 892-foot journey that changed the world, but it was excitement in all the people that saw it really works. And within 57 years, Yuri Gagarin was strapped into a capsule atop a Soyuz rocket in the Soviet Union and shot into space. Without the aid of computers, without the aid of experience, can you imagine what an idiot he was? They'd sent dogs and monkeys up already, and none of them survived. But Yuri made one circumference of the earth. The next year, John Glenn crawled into a small, cramped mercury capsule strapped to the world's largest stick of dynamite and gave them permission to blow him up. And after 3 orbits of the earth, he came down. 7 years later, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong set their lunar lander Eagle down on the moon. And Neil descended from that capsule and with a famous statement, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And on and on and on it goes until today, what Orville and Wilbur could never have dreamt. We fly everywhere. We can't imagine a world without flight today, even though AOC is trying to get rid of all the planes. That's going to go well for her. But the bottom line of this thing is, what I'm trying to get across is, folks, it's just infectious when people follow God. It's infectious. Once you've been there, once the Lord has called you beyond your horizon, once the Lord has walked you into a place where you didn't think you could ever go, and he's shown you that he's already there, it is the most infectious thing on the planet. I've been so blessed to get to walk through some of the most amazing situations and see God out of nothing create something. And it's, folks, it's fantastic. And it's not just for preachers. It's for everybody. God wants to do something so powerful in your life that it cannot be explained away. That it can't be attributed to any other form of blessing that you could imagine, whether it's your education or your native wisdom or anything else. God wants to do some things for you that testify of how good he is, how big he is, how powerful he is, and how he wants to do it for everybody. In fact, if you think you're the least qualified in the room, you're probably the one the Lord is putting his hand on to say, I want to show if I could do it for you, I could do it for anybody. And I'm telling you, that's the way he does. It's an amazing thing. The second thing that can happen, and I've got 3 minutes here, so I'll make this quick. The second thing that can happen is that your following the Lord will cause disdain, and jealousy, and even anger in others who refuse for various reasons. It's amazing how people fear change. The ancient maps that were published back in the day when people began to explore the world were published by places that were already well settled. The cartographers almost always included areas where they say, well, this is beyond where exploration has ever been, and they would put captions, and they would draw dragons out in the water, and they literally would say, beyond here be dragons. Or if it's a land map, they would say, beyond here be lions or hippos or something that was frightening. And they would create these monsters. Nobody had ever seen a dragon. But yet they had to be out there because we've never been there. I'm so glad that Christopher Columbus and a few other people said, I'd like to see a dragon. And I don't think I'm going to sail off the end of the earth. And they came. I really believe there's a spirit of that in people. That is unknown. Let me just say, trusting God is easy when you spend time hearing from him. You don't have to worry about the dragons. You don't even have to worry about the public opinion that you're crazy. Crazy like a fox if you listen to the Lord. Crazy like a fox if he invites you beyond the horizon and you're just crazy enough to go. And after you go beyond the horizon, you can't build a memorial to yourself and say, I came beyond the horizon. Because there's still one. There's still one. And he's still inviting. He's still beckoning because he's already.